الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم. The first clear point about Mary or Maryam, the mother of Jesus, is that she's only the only female mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. The Quran is replete with examples of many great females. Indeed, if you were to look from the beginning of the Quran till the end, you'll see a number of wonderful females who have existed, who have been the very embodiment of spirituality, of morality, had always had the highest levels of respect, and had sacrificed everything that they had for the Lord. Right from the beginning of the Quran, you see, for example, Nabi Adam's wife Hawa, one of the greatest ladies to ever lived on this earth. You see, for example, the wives of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. You have Sarah and Hajar, whose stories in the Quran relate to two prophets of God, the prophet Ismail in the case of Hajar, and the prophet Ishaq in the case of Sarah. You look, for example, in the Quran at arguably one of the greatest displays of patience anyone will ever see. And that was the display of patience that could be seen in the example of the wife of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Nabi Ayyub loses everything in life, children, family, health, wealth, and his wife remains a backbone for him. And the Quran mentions how she's alongside him throughout all these struggles. Another female mentioned in the Quran are the two sisters who Nabi Musa alayhi salam meets and sees show the greatest amount of respect that you'll ever see. And eventually, according to narrations, he ends up marrying one of them. Another of the females in the Quran that you'll see are, of course, the wives of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. You'll see within the Holy Quran, the wives of the Holy Prophet are mentioned, each of them in a different stage of their life, each of them in a different context, each of them a verse of the Quran in one way or the other, dividing them into categories. But you don't see the names of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi in the Quran, do you? Even though we view the Holy Prophet as the highest of the prophets and the greatest of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khadija alayhi salam is not in the Quran. Yes. Salama, for example, is not in the Quran. Zainab is not in the Quran. Aisha is not in the Quran. Hafsa is not in the Quran. Maria al-Qibtiyya is not in the Quran. But the verses allude to them in one way or the other. Ayyub's wife is in the Quran, but her name is not there. Musa's wife is in the Quran, but her name is not there. Nabi Adam alayhi salam's wife, Nabi Ibrahim's wives are in the Quran, but are their names there? No. The first striking point about Maryam alayhi salam is that she's the only female who is mentioned by name in the Holy Quran. What an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to this lady, that her name is not just mentioned once in the Quran. If it was mentioned once, then someone could say, for example, that Zayd, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is also mentioned in the Quran. Does that mean he's greater than every companion who's mentioned? No. But you found that Maryam is mentioned over 30 times in the Quran. According to some, 34 times in the Quran. That's more than in the Bible. Maryam, alayhi salam, the mother of Jesus, is mentioned more in the Quran than in the Bible. You'd think that how many churches you go to, you see Maryam's statue there, or an image of Maryam there. How many Christians in the world revere and admire Maryam, alayhi salam, rightly so? Yet it's the Quran that mentions Maryam more than the Bible. The Quran mentions her by herself, of her own right of greatness, maybe 11 times. So let's say a third of the mentions of the Quran of Maryam alayhi salam are what? Are mentions of Maryam alayhi salam in her own right. And the others, you'll always hear Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam. And that always begs the question, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say Isa alayhi salam? Yes. Sometimes Allah does say, Inna mathala Isa and Allah. But majority of the times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Isa son of Mary, to highlight the greatness of this lady. And that's why in the world that we live in today, where many people are doing studies on feminism, on female rights, on female icons, on female archetypes, without a doubt, one of the greatest that could be studied for her role in humanity and the evolution of male-female relations is Maryam alayhi salam. Because many times we discuss Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, we discuss Sayyidah Zainab. We discuss the two of them and we talk about how possibly they could be feminist icons. And by the way, when I say feminism or feminist, it doesn't mean that this fits them into one description. Feminism in itself can be broken down into many definitions. Some of them which we agree with, some of them we completely reject. But of the definitions is a recognition of the status of the female within society. A recognition that the female is equal to the male in creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The female is not some rib of Adam. The female is not the cause of suffering. The female can achieve the highest level of success spiritually in her time and can be closer to God than many of the males around her. The female has a right to worship the way the male does. The female has a right to gain knowledge the way the male does. Even Islamic knowledge. Many times when we think of Islamic knowledge, we always think of male scholars, don't we? You say Sayyid Ammar, for example. You say Sayyid Ali, for example. You say Sayyid Fulan, Sheikh Fulan, Allama Fulan. But hardly ever do we mention the names of Alimaz, Mujtahidaz. One of the movements of feminism was, who is it that could be an icon in recognizing that I have as much right to study the religious literature as the men of my time? If the men of my time are the rabbis or the priests or the imams or the maulanas or the sheikhs, why can the females of the time not also study that same religious literature as well? You imagine how this particular lady would cause ripples, not just in her time, but in the time when the surahs were revealed that discuss her. You imagine the verses that I just quoted now from Surah Al Imran, and we said yesterday, Al Imran are the family of who? The family of Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam's dad is Imran, Jesus' granddad. You imagine when this was revealed in Arabia, did Arabia have the highest image of the female? When the Quran was being revealed in Arabia, was the female respected? Was the female given the highest of love, the highest of respect, the highest of honor? Not necessarily. So what changed it? What began to change it was that the Quran began to educate the Arabs by showing them examples of females who are a mathal for them, an example for them. Therefore, what the Quran was doing was telling the Arabs, if you look down at a female, then how could you respect Maryam and look down at a female? If you look down at your mom or your sister or your niece or your daughter, or if you claim they cannot study, you claim they cannot be close to God, you claim that they are not even worth living, then come and look at the example of one of the greatest ladies to have ever lived on the face of this earth. Let us examine tonight the birth of Maryam alayhi salam and see the many wonderful lessons that may be learnt. Why did her mother Hannah really want a child to be in the service of God? How does the Quran say, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, A male is not like a female. Does that mean males are better than females? Or does that mean their roles may be different? Or their nature may be different? Or their ways may be different? Or their temperaments may be different? Further than that, how important is it that Allah mentions when her mother says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ, the naming? Further than that, is it true that shaitan is the cause behind every baby crying loudly except Jesus and his mother? And what does Bukhari mean when Abu Huraira narrates such a hadith for us? Further than that, how is it clear within the surah that in the middle of a group of scholars in the temple, she begins to emerge as the highest of scholars? And can a female one day become a marja? Or will we always only follow male maraja? And how important is the upbringing of Maryam? And how important is it that we look at her upbringing and the upbringing of our children in the society today? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. There are certain prophets in the Quran. There is no mention of their birth and no mention of their parents' reaction when they were born. Maryam got all of that. If you ask anybody in the Quran, there is no mention of the reaction of a mother of somebody when they are born. In the Quran, there's only really, one may argue, two descriptive styles or narratives when it comes to someone's birth: Mary and Jesus. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, in the Quran, is there anything that describes the day he was born? Is there anything that describes in the Quran how his mom felt? No. You look at, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Is there anything in the Quran that describes the day Ibrahim was born and how his mother felt the day he was born? Musa, maybe there's an allusion to the dangers of his birth and having to put him in a basket down the Nile. But you see, Maryam and Jesus, what's common about them is that Allah describes the moment they're born and the reaction of their families when they're born. Why, ya Allah? Why describe this? Why not just say Maryam was born, for example, let's say if I was born 20 years before Jesus came onto this earth, this is who her dad is, this is who her mom is, and then fast forward. Why mention what happened at the birth? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to highlight for us lessons from one lady's birth and how applicable those lessons are to our life today. What did we say yesterday? Hannah wanted a child. Sometimes a mother's yearning for a child can come just by looking at a bird feeding its children. Isn't that true? There are mothers in this world who, part of their nature, they may have maternal instincts. And these maternal instincts can be affected simply by looking at a bird feeding its children. Some mention that her maternal instinct struck in. Others mention that she was from the line of Harun alayhi salam. They call them Aaronites. And the idea of the Aaronites was that they were the custodians of the temple. You see how, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Khadija alayhi salam, they were from families who were the custodians of the Kaaba. Maryam's family were the custodians of the temple. That temple in Jerusalem, everyone still fights about that area. Is it the temple of the Jews? Is it the temple of the Christians? Is it the temple of the Muslims? Inshallah, there'll be a day where all of us can live together in that area without fighting, without killing, without oppressing, without showing any racial hate towards one another, and rather live in a world of a plurality of opinions, a religious pluralism between the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews. But that temple of Sulaiman left a legacy where everybody wanted to be the ones who protected that. If I give you a trivial example to make it easy for you, how much of an honor would it be for you that you're able to serve in the haram of, for example, Masjid al-Haram? How much would it be an honor that you clean the floor? Would it be a big honor for you or no? Would it be an honor for you to collect the shoes outside the haram of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? Do you know how many years sometimes there are waiting lists for people to just stand and give the shoes? You know, when you go to the haram and you leave your shoes, there are people who are doctors who have stood there and they collect the shoe for you. You think that this guy is some person who just works there in the haram. No, for them, it's a dedication to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. I see, for example, some workers in the Masjid al-Haram, the Bangladeshi workers that I see there, for some of them, they're earning a living. For others of them, it's a great honor for them to be serving the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same was in the time of Maryam and Nabi Isa. The time of Maryam alayhi salam, what was their, for example, idea of Karbala we see today was, can I serve the temple? Temple of David, Solomon, can I serve that temple? There were people who were serving who were hypocrites, and there were people who were serving who were believers. Always you'll find in the religious institutions, there are people who are serving who could be the biggest hypocrites, and there are people who are serving who are genuine. There are some who are serving because it's a family business for them, and there are others who are serving because they sincerely want to serve the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of judges. Hannah therefore wanted a child. What did we say yesterday? God revealed to Imran, the husband of Hannah, he said, you're going to have a son. So she's thinking, when I'm giving birth, of course, not like technology today, where the doctor will tell you a few months before that, by the way, you're going to have a daughter or you're going to have a son. In those days, you wait until the day that you give birth. The moment she gave birth, she's thinking, alhamdulillah, I'm going to have a son. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Allah told the husband of Hannah Imran, your son one day will cure the blind and cure the leper, the famous miracles of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Can you imagine that you and your missus are in the maternity ward at a hospital, all of a sudden having thought and been told literally by an email from the heavens rather than an email from, for example, the local hospital in London, an email that says to you that you're going to have, for example, you're going to have a son. All of a sudden, the husband's standing there and they look and they're like, oh my God, this is a daughter. And what's going on here? Why is it that we have a daughter? God promised you a boy, yeah? I said, yeah. I said, a boy who you said will cure the leper and the blind. He said, yes, yes, he said that in my family, I'm going to have that. Tabhan, if God says to you in your family, it could be your grandson, true? Doesn't have to be your son. But they're looking, they're like, my God, we got a female. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like a female. What's she thinking? In her mind, she's thinking, number one, I thought I'm going to have a boy. Now I've got a girl. Number two, at that time, to serve in the haram, you generally had to be a male. Yes? There are many of these harams. You don't see, for example, Masjid al-Haram, there'll be some ladies who may be security in Masjid al-Haram, for example. But all in all, the people cleaning, do you see ladies cleaning or men? In Karbala, al-Hussein alayhi salam, al-Atab al-Husayniya, Atab al-Abbasiya, mainly around the haram. No, of course, there's sections which has to be there for the ladies. But mainly, isn't there men walking around? So she's thinking, laysa dhakaru kal-untha. The male is not like the female. This one line can have 1,000 books written about it. Walaysa dhakaru kal-untha. The male is not like the female. The most chauvinistic males out there will say, Baba, wallah, I told you. Even God in the Quran says, men and women are not the same. لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. إِحْنَا, we the men are the best. No one is like us. We're the most powerful. We're the strongest. We make the decisions for everything. And how many times you hear men saying, and the woman is stupid, and the woman is dumb, and the woman has no right to open her mouth. The woman, all you do is you cook, you clean, you serve, you produce. Nothing more, nothing less. Because if I took that ayah alone like that, couldn't I take it out of context? I could take that ayah and say, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Look, Allah says the male is not like the female. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the male is great. And why do you think these feminist movements sometimes emerge? They emerge sometimes because of a rereading of the tafaseer. We cannot deny that in our books of tafsir, there was a certain period where there was a patriarchal type analysis on certain ayahs from a male worldview. Where in your culture, you look down, for example, at the female. So what did you end up doing? You end up looking at ayat of the Quran and say, for example, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. When you look at an ayah like that, that the plots of woman are what? are always evil. Let's say in the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, how many times do you hear Iraqi saying, Inna kaydahun nazim, Inna kaydahun nazim, Inna kaydahun nazim. Say, Baba, into one story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, every time a woman does something, Inna kaydahun, Inna kaydahun. Always you apply it. There are some who will take ayahs like this, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and they'll say, sure, but dhakar is the male. الْأُنْثَى is the male is not like the female. No, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear when he says this. In which way? Firstly, the male and the female, spiritually, can they reach the same level? Or is it that males can only reach the highest level of spirituality in Islam? Can males and females reach the highest level spiritually? Yes, they can. Can a female end up being spiritually higher than a male? On the one point of this ayah, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, means what? Bring a number of males. They are not like this untha. Yes? If you bring all the males who are living at that time, they are not like the female that we've given you. Subhanallah. You can bring all these men who claim to be the best ulama of the books that have come before the Torah and the Zabur and so on. ليس الذكر كالأنثى. But these males are not like the female. The female that we've given you is on a different level. This male and female, therefore, in Islam, spiritually, can they reach the highest level? They both are equal when it comes to spirituality. They can both reach the highest level. Sometimes there are debates, then why is it that in Nahj al-Balagha, sometimes Imam Ali is quoted to have said things like they are deficient in their faith, they're deficient in their intellect, and he gives examples because of the monthly cycle, or because, for example, of the witnessing, and therefore women are not that high level. Some ulama said, well, the context of such sermons relates to a battle like Jamal. Other ulama said, no, Nahj al-Balagha is not a book which you say everything within it is accepted. There are certain things within the Nahj. The Nahj is not 100% to be taken for everything to be said. There's a context to everything. There are certain things that may be taken from other sources. The Quran, therefore, when it said, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, wasn't for me and you say, males are not like females, males are great. No. On the one hand, it was to say, males are not like this female. On the other hand, there are certain things that, subhanAllah, is true. It's true that men are not like women. There are certain things that women have which men do not have, which men will not have. There are certain things which, in the nature of the female, is completely different from that of the male. Does that mean if my nature and the female's nature is different, that means that I'm high or low? No. Allah created both of us equal. Spiritually, we can reach the highest levels equally, but subhanAllah, sometimes part of our nature is different. If you give a couple of examples, look at a couple of examples. Females, sometimes, if you look at studies that have been done in psychology and so on, you'll see sometimes the female, her natural adab is higher than the adab of the male. Yes, the natural adab of the female, sometimes a bit softer, there's a bit more etiquette. Yes, the natural adab. There's a bit more etiquette. Sometimes you see our dads and our moms, an example. Sometimes our dad's a bit louder. Ah, where? Jibo. And sometimes you might see that the mom, there's a bit more of a softness. There might be a bit more, for example, of an etiquette in the way things are done. Sometimes men love to brag about everything they've achieved. They love to be loud about everything they've achieved. Sometimes women hold back from bragging about everything that they've achieved. Does that mean the female is less than the male? Because if I say Maryam is a feminist archetype, it's not everything in feminism that I necessarily am going to agree with. Some people said, no, the female and the male socially are the same. No, there is a natural adab to the female that the male cannot equate. There are males who do not have that natural adab that the female has. Secondly, I'll give you another example. Who do you think sometimes is quicker to smile? Psychology shows that the female smiles quicker than the male when she sees a male. Now someone says, what? Haram, female smiling at a male? No. Sometimes because of knowing one's natural disposition is not as strong as the male, then already it's a defense mechanism, the smile. Yes? It's like if I'm 5'8", and there's a guy who's 6'7", I ain't straight we're going to look at that guy and say, what are you looking at? There's going to be a little bit of a, you're right, mate. Because there's a sense of a defense mechanism. That female, likewise, that smile that emerges straight away is not flirting. Rather, there's a defense mechanism there. Thirdly, sometimes there may be a female who'll reach the highest position of power because she's not been around males for a long time to face that loudness and that intimidation that exists. I think it was Pamela Stone had done research on high-achieving females. And she showed high-achieving females who went to female-only schools in their life. Does that mean that any girl who goes to a female-only school will be high-achiever? No. But when you're in a female-only school, you don't have that loud male, the males messing about, the males acting stupid when they're going through adolescence. Further than that, there are females who could do certain things which us males can never do. Yes. Believe you me, sometimes if you ask me, watching Liverpool versus City this afternoon, if you asked me, Sayyidina, you're watching Liverpool City, if you don't mind, can you just send an email at the same time? Yep, if you don't mind, and just give me that, I'll say, Baba, I'm watching the game. Please don't interrupt me. I cannot focus on anything else. I could look to my side and look at my mom. I could see, for example, someone on the phone, talking, cooking, preparing, getting, ordering, all at the same time. When the Quran said, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, the male is not like the female, the Quran was right. And that's why there are books which are written. Men are from, what is the books that are written? Men are from, wallah, even I've forgotten the name of the book. Certain planet, Mars or Venus or Jupiter or Saturn, God knows, there's books which are written which show that there is a difference in the makeup that may exist between the male and the female. Maybe biologically there are differences. But so what you found is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to highlight that wait. Firstly, don't be disappointed when a female comes to you. Subhanallah, can you imagine the message that was there to the Arabs when this ayah was revealed? Why? Some of the Arabs, what were they doing? When this ayah about Maryam alayhi salam was revealed, some of the Arabs were burying their daughter alive. Yes? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The female baby will ask on the day of judgment, for what reason was I buried alive? What crime had I committed? لَوْ لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Yes, male are not as great as some females. Even some in the feminist world always want to compare themselves to male. Why? Why you make the male the barometer? Make yourself the barometer. Why are you making the male? Why does the male? You make yourself the barometer. When the Arabs therefore would hear this, it would affect them. Remember, the Quran is talking about Maryam, who lived a few hundred years before the Arabs, and is saying to them, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. This female is greater than any male we would have given. This lady that we've given you, you're disappointed that you've been given a female? Don't be disappointed. Don't worry. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. That male is not like that female. The female will achieve success, and that male will achieve success at the same time as well. So therefore, what do you have? You have on this occasion something very clear, and that is that the Quran wanted to highlight that there is a seeming evolution at this stage in humanity on where the woman deserves to be. Let me explain. When at the beginning of humanity, Adam and Eve, there was a certain basic understanding of the male-female relationship. As it went to Nabi Nuh, it did continue to develop. Went to Nabi Ibrahim, develop. Went to Musa, develop. Now with Nabi Isa, now we reach an environment where the ladies of the past were at a certain level in terms of their ability to be within the religious circles. Now the Quran was opening the door that this temple is not to be only the service of men. Now we're going to break that. We're going to allow women to slowly get into positions of higher religious leadership. Because at that time, the idea that I could give my daughter towards the temple was unheard of. There might have been bits and pieces, some examples, but generally it was only males. Suddenly the Quran was saying, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male is not like the female. And the Quran continued to tell us what Maryam's mom done. Maryam's mom is told now, Imran is told, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ. And I have named her Maryam. Ya Allah, why do you need to tell us وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ? To highlight that one of the first rights of your child, even before your child is born, is that you give them a good name. Yes? Today in our Muslim community, you call your friend, you're like, bro, salam, how's everything? Say, oh, good, good. I heard, mashallah, you got a daughter. Say, give the name. What's her name? He gives you a name you've never heard of in your life. You're like, bro, what's that? He said, bro, wallah, I went on Google. I typed cool Islamic names. Yeah, but Habibi, what does that name mean? He goes, oh, it means flower in Japanese. Okay, Habibi, it's inta, it means flower in Japanese. How does that help the child? Yeah, he said, bro, firstly, at school, we don't want them to feel that they're not, you know, they're lacking an identity. We want to give them a different name. Say, okay, bro, different name. Even there's certain Muslim names. And so for the love of God, there's certain Muslim names where all of a sudden now these Muslim names can be applied. There are names of Anbiya. Suddenly, recently, there's been a great movement of people who love prophets from the children of Israel. If there is a film about Noah, I'd call my child Noah. And I'll call my child Moses. I'll call my child Adam. And I'll call my child Abraham, not even Ibrahim. And even wives of prophets. There are people who go down that route. No problem. At the end of the day, give her or give him a name where the person, when they grow up, they're like, that's who I was named after. Correct? Why do you think Ahlul Bayt wouldn't stray far away from two names? Muhammad Ali. Ali Muhammad. Ali Muhammad. Muhammad Ali. Subhanallah. If you look at Ahlul Bayt, you'll see, even when we do ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt, you always hear Ali bin Muhammad, Muhammad bin Ali, Ali bin Muhammad, Al-Hasan bin Ali bin Ali. Why? Because they wanted to make sure that the name that was given to the child was the best of names. Because they could see that the Umayyads and the Abbasids will eradicate Ahlul Bayt by eradicating such names. The mother, straight away, when she said, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ, she highlighted as a mother that I wanted to make sure that my child was what? That my child was a child who was going to be given a name. Maryam could mean beloved, loved, something beautiful that she was given. وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا what? Maryam. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. What does that mean? That means very clearly that she's saying that, Ya Allah, I seek refuge for my Maryam and her progeny from shaitan. Which points emerge? Number one, the dua of the mother is fundamental. A mother's dua for her children is vital in their upbringing. She straight away, إِنِّي سَمَيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Ya Allah, these children of mine, or this child of mine, shaitan one day is going to come and say, listen, why don't you smoke some drugs? Enjoy it. Listen, you can go to the mosque in Muharram. You can do, for example, you can remember Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. What's wrong with having some weed? Have some. What's wrong with smoking some joints? What's the issue? Why not go clubbing? Why not, for example, party and drink alcohol as much as you can? All of us, it doesn't matter which house we've come from, even if your house loves Ahlul Bayt more than any, the reality is the dua of the mother is fundamental. Otherwise, shaitan can whisper to each of us a whispering which can divert us completely from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Her dua straight away wasn't, you know what, my husband is a prophet, so that means that my kids will all turn out to religious. Nah, no way. Wallah, sometimes it's the religious whose kids are the biggest headache. Sometimes it's the families who are religious whose kids come out the least religious. If a family takes their eye away and does not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the curse of shaitan, then that family could easily be affected. How many times you see, sadly, in the Muslim world, you see someone who's a religious scholar and his sons or his daughters have come out far away from the path. Why? Because that person can try and try. But the reality is what Maryam shows us. Maryam shows us something very clearly. And that is, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I want you to protect. إِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Bukhari discusses this interestingly. In Bukhari, Abu Huraira says, shaitan, when a baby is born, the reason a baby is born and cries loudly, you see when babies cry loudly as soon as they're born, is because shaitan is prodding them. So when we all cry loudly when we're born, it's because shaitan is, for example, pinching us. So shaitan pinches us and then we cry loudly. This is where Abu Huraira narrates this. Except Rasulullah? No, no, even Rasulullah gets the pinch. I, the Shi'i, I am the one who doesn't show enough love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Me? We're the ones who don't show enough love, huh? Muhu Salman Rushdie doesn't write books unless there are narrations for him to use to write a book like the Satanic Verses. You need nice traditions to build a Satanic Verses content. You need the literature. Shaitan prods you when you're born as a baby. That's why you cry loudly. Every human goes to a hospital and they give birth. Shaitan's pinching their baby. Shaitan's pinching. Except who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, even Rasulullah. No. Musa, and even Musa got pinched. Everyone got pinched. Except Jesus and his mother. Why? Because his mother said, وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So because she read that dua, Jesus and Mary don't get pinched or prodded by shaitan when they're born. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone gets affected. Everyone. So Baba, if everyone can get pinched by shaitan, including Rasulullah, why am I following Rasulullah? Why? For what reason? If my own prophet, shaitan can affect him the moment he's born, why am I following that prophet then? Yes? At the end of the day, I can easily be in a situation where I could follow someone else. Do we as Shia therefore? Firstly, do we ever take Abu Huraira? No, never. And nor will we ever. Of course, if another school in Islam wants to take Abu Huraira as their chief narrator and as their great figure, wallah, you're more than welcome and keep him. But for us, the Shia, we do not take Abu Huraira, nor do I take Bukhari or Muslim. These are for you the most important works, not for me. Other schools in Islam may take them. And if you're going to tell me that my prophets were prodded or that everybody gets prodded by shaitan except Jesus, no. She read a dua. Her dua was what? She wanted to make sure that her daughter and the generations from her daughter are protected by shaitan. And ya Allah, we ask you for that as well. Because all of us fear for the aqaid of our children with the world that they're living in at the moment. How difficult is the aqidah for the children at this moment? It's extremely difficult for a person in this world when it comes to their kids. So many different viewpoints, so many different beliefs, people coming left, right and center. This is allowed. Everyone has rights. No one can question people's rights. There is no barometer, no boundaries whatsoever. Truly, this dua of Hannah for Maryam highlighted that the upbringing of that child becomes fundamental. And that's why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discuss the upbringing of that child? Of course he did. In exactly the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the upbringing of that child. Nabatan hasanan. There is a particular, you know, nabat is a plant in all honesty. When someone says to you, Jibin Nabat, Nabat normally refers to plant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted that we are the ones, the parents are the ones who are part of the cultivation of their child. Imam Amir al-Mu'mini alayhi salam says, the heart of a youth is like an uncultivated piece of land. Whatever you throw on it, it accepts. Isn't that true? What did Hannah do? Hannah wanted to make sure that her child from a young age was in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She got the child to be devoted to Allah. She made sure that that child, and better nabat al-hasanan, notice here that the verse would say that she was cultivated in a wonderful way. But when the Quran says anbataha nabatan hasanan, in contrast to saying anbataha inbatan hasanan, what is the difference between the two? The difference between the two is anbataha nabatan hasanan in contrast to anbataha nabatan is that the first one is highlighting that part of that upbringing was the parents making sure that their children were heading in the right direction. Notice, Hannah wants her child to be near the Hsaniyah of her time. Wants her child to be near the Majalis of her time. Wants her child to be near the houses where Allah is remembered. I, as a parent, have to take from the example of Mary's mum. Mary's mother recognized that we will break the stereotype that only men can be in the service of God. No, my daughter will be in the service of God. My daughter can be higher than all the men who are around her. It doesn't mean the world is dictated by men who gain knowledge. My daughter can gain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. My daughter, I want to make sure she's in the proximity of Allah. Not when it's a mawlud. I'm sitting at home, my kids are playing. What's the latest console? Tell me, what's the name of the latest console which everyone plays games on? Give me an example of one. What is it? What's it? PS5. MashaAllah. I've quoted 15 verses of the Quran in this lecture. You've not replied to one. PS5. A person plays it, no problem. Play it, enjoy. Have they gone to Shahadat Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Have they gone to read Dua Kumail on a Thursday night? Have they gone to their local center? The first example of that upbringing was the mom was concerned that she's near the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fundamental. You can't be parents who are only concerned they get to the best private schools, the best colleges, best unis, and not concerned that they're in a house where Allah has remembered. That was part of it. But the second part of that phrase was what? Was that the other part of it is that the child has to work on themselves as well. Yes? One part is that you have to instill in the child. The other part is that the child has to work on themselves. You think Maryam just relied on her mom and said, "Mom, you put me here?" Maryam herself was devoted. Maryam herself made time to read about God, made time to learn about God. There are some youths who say, "I hate lectures, lectures are boring, the mosques are boring." If the mosques are boring and the lectures are boring, you go and do your own reading. There's a lot to learn online. There's a lot to learn on websites. There's a lot of brilliant courses online. There's a lot of great YouTube videos online. There's a lot of great crash courses online which a person can offer. Why do you always say, "Oh, the mosques are what's boring"? Maryam could have easily said, "Mom, why you put me here? This place is boring, it's all men, I'm a female, I've got no friends here." No, she made her environment. She's the one at a young age who said, "You know what, I'll find my way of getting closer to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors for me." Believe me, all the youth who watch this at home, stop pointing fingers at the mosques, because always know when you point three, there are two pointing back at you. Part of it is the upbringing of the parents. But not everything can be blamed on the parents. That's why is the child not religious? Sometimes the child has to take the initiative themselves. You think it was easy for a female in the middle of all those men, all those people who had learnt and understood the books of the Torah, for her to be in their presence? It wasn't easy, but she herself dedicated. And that's why that lesson of her dedication at that young age had rippling effects on generations of children. Where do you find it? On the plains of Karbala, no doubt. Because Zainab alayhi salam herself, Zainab, without a doubt, she was a great mom, Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. But her boys were great boys as well. Yes? The mom was great. The mom was an unbelievable figure. The mom had raised Aun and Muhammad, but Aun and Muhammad also raised themselves. The mom had raised her two boys, but her two boys also had to make a stand one day to say, "We cannot blame the teachers or the lecturers or the mosques. Rather, we're going to have to answer one day for what we did for Rasulullah, our grandfather, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and what we did for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam." And that's why you look at those two boys. Did they blame the community? Did they blame the mosques? They stood in front of the army of Yazid and they came forward. And they broke the heart of Aba Abdullah. Wallah, you look at the conversation between them and their uncle. When they came forward, they said, "Our uncle, it's our turn to come out on the battlefield." Yes? He said to them, "My dear Aun and my dear Muhammad, go back. Your mother, go and look after your mother. Go protect your mother." They went back. Their mother said, "What's going on?" And the reply that came was, "Mom, we went to him, but he said, go back and protect your mother. So we've returned back here." She looked towards him and she looked towards them and she said to them that, "I will go and talk to him." She went and talked to him. She said to him, "Do you remember when Abu al-Fadl came out on the battlefield? How proud was my father? And he was at a young age." He said to her, "Yes, I remember." She said, "Further than that, what do I tell my mother on the day of judgment? That everybody gave sons towards you on the 10th of Muharram. What do I answer? Which sons did I give? Everybody's given. Layla has given Akbar. Ramla's given Qasim. Rabab's given a 6-month-old baby. What do I answer? At the end, I'm going to have to answer. for what I gave. For her, she had raised her children, but it was the children who took initiatives. You know what the children said to their mom and their uncle? Uncle, don't be scared. From one side, we are the grandsons of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And from the other side, we're the grandsons of Ja'far al-Tayyar. They both headed towards the battlefield. Within a few moments, both of them lay on the ground, calling out, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. As they both lay on the ground, Imam al-Hussein carried the both of them back to the tent. Can you imagine Hanna, when she saw Maryam born? It was an emotional moment for her. But Hanna never had to see Maryam's body cut into pieces on the ground in front of her. Can you imagine the heart of Zainab alayha salam when she saw her two sons laying there with blood all over their bodies? But Zainab, that mountain of sabr, she remained patient. Zainab alayha salam did not cry at that moment. She waited. When she went to Kufa, the other ladies remembered their boys, but Zainab remained calm again. When they went to Sham, the other ladies of Al Muhammad remembered their children, but she remained calm again. When they went to Karbala, the ladies all remembered their children, but she remained calm again. When did she break down, my dear brothers and sisters? When she returned back to Medina, as she entered the house, she saw two empty mattresses in the room. One mattress belonging to Aun and another belonging to Muhammad. The worst of feelings for a father or a mother is when they see the beds of their children without their children on them. She broke down. What is it that the poet says? It's as if she said, it's as if she called out, I would have cried for the both of you when you died, but I held myself for Imam al-Hussein. How could I break down, having lost the two of you, and Aba Abdullah lost everything around him? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Ya Allah, give us the shafa'a of Sayyida Maryam alayha salam. Allow us to follow her example and the example of her parents in this world and the hereafter. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.